somewhere in a drawer or an inbox folder you don't open much, there's a statement with a number on it that's keeping you at your firm. Deferred compensation, unvested awards, maybe a retention note. Today, I want to show you how those golden handcuffs are actually built, the three traps that make them work so well on successful advisors, and how to find the real number hiding underneath the scary one. Because I'd bet the figure in your head is bigger than the one on paper. Quick note before we get into it, Advisor Growth Lab is not a broker-dealer, and everything here is for educational purposes only. It's not individualized legal, tax, or investment advice. Every advisor's situation is different, so treat this as a map, not a set of directions. This one's for any advisor who has run the mental math on leaving and stopped cold at the balance they'd walk away from. By the end, you'll know what the handcuffs are made of, why they hold successful people hardest, and what actually happens to the money when someone resigns. Start with the construction, because golden handcuffs aren't one thing. Four components do most of the holding, and they stack. Deferred compensation first. A slice of your production gets paid not in cash, but into plans that vest over multi-year schedules. And every year adds a new tranche with its own calendar, then retention bonuses. Your firm merges, your branch changes hands, your team gets valuable enough to worry about, and an award shows up specifically to keep you seated, carrying its own vesting or repayment terms. Then forgivable loans, which are recruiting or retention money structured as a loan against a promissory note, forgiven in installments as long as you stay. FINRA itself has described recruitment incentives running as much as 2 to 3 times the prior year's commissions and fees, and its guidance walks through an illustrative 9-year note. Leave mid-note and the unforgiven balance can come due, which makes this the sharpest handcuff of the four. It converts leaving from foregoing money into owing money. And finally, unvested equity, layered on top of everything else on its own schedule. Put the four together and the design shows itself. At any given moment, something is mid-vest, something is mid-forgiveness, and the sum is one intimidating number on a statement. And I want to be fair to the firms. None of this is hidden or improper. It's disclosed, it's contractual, and from the firm's side, it's simply good business. The money was owed to you anyway. The design only changes when it arrives and what conditions attach. Your own earned compensation becomes the retention tool. So why does it work so well on people who are, by any measure, doing great? Three traps: the math trap, the time trap, and the identity trap. The math trap is the paper number itself. It looks enormous, so leaving feels like burning cash. But that figure is a headline, and headlines skip the fine print. Some of the balance is already vested and leaves with you. Some vests years out, some carries conditions, and some gets taxed in ways that shrink it when it finally pays. The number worth weighing is the unvested at-risk slice netted for timing and tax, not the statement total. The fix is arithmetic, not courage. What's vested today and portable? And what would genuinely be forfeited if you resigned this quarter? For a lot of advisors, the properly sorted spreadsheet turns out smaller than the number that's been running their career. The time trap is the vesting treadmill. You vest one tranche and another dangles a year or two ahead, close enough to make this feel like a bad time to leave. New awards land every cycle, so the ledger never empties. If you're waiting for the moment when nothing is left on the table, that moment may never come, because the table gets restocked annually. The treadmill isn't a flaw in the system, it is the system. So map the next 3 to 5 years of your actual vesting schedule and look for a genuine gap. advisors who do this usually find the same thing. There is no free year, only years that cost more or less than others. And that turns out to be freeing, because the question stops being when leaving is free and becomes which window is cheapest and whether the trade is worth it. The identity trap is the one advisors talk about least. The longer you wear the handcuffs, the more you credit them for your success. The brand opened doors early in your career, so you assume it's still doing the opening. You start to think the logo built the book. Money can be counted. Confidence can't, which makes this trap the hardest to see. So, test it. How many of your clients came through the firm's channels? And how many came because someone trusted you through referrals, relationships, work you did? For most advisors I talk to, that answer is reassuring. Clients hire a person long before they hire a letterhead, which leaves the question you actually care about. What happens to the money if you leave? Your plan documents decide, so I'll give you the common shape. Vested balances are generally yours, subject to the plan's payout timing and tax treatment. Unvested balances are typically forfeited when you resign, which is exactly what the vesting schedule was built to do. Forgivable loan notes run on their own track, and leaving mid-note generally makes the unforgiven balance repayable. Some plans attach strings that reach further, like forfeiture or clawback provisions tied to joining a competitor or soliciting clients. So the sentence, "I would lose everything," is almost never the literal truth. The real exposure sits in the unvested slice, and firms that recruit experienced advisors know exactly what those advisors leave behind when they build an offer. And people do leave at scale. Diamond Consultants' annual transition report counted more than 11,000 experienced advisors changing firms in 2025, up about 16% from the year before. Fidelity's advisor movement study found that more than half of advisors considered switching firms within a five-year window, and roughly one in four actually moved. Thousands of people run this exact math every year and decide the trade is worth it. Thousands of others run it and stay. Both are defensible outcomes of the same calculation. Staying by default without ever running it is the only indefensible one. One more point before I wrap up. Your specific agreement, the forfeiture language, the clawback provisions, the note terms, that's a job for a securities attorney who reads these documents for a living. Most advisors don't have one on call, and that's exactly the point. Get one in your corner before you act, not after. A price decision beats a guess every time. Golden handcuffs aren't a prison. They're a price tag. A price tag tells you what the firm believes it costs to keep you, which is a compliment of a kind. The handcuffs were never the question. They're valuable, obviously. The question is whether what you trade for them, the control, the time, maybe ownership, is worth more. And you can't answer that while refusing to look at the numbers. If you want to know where you actually stand, we built a short assessment for exactly this. 6 questions, and it routes you to a private conversation or the research that fits your situation. It's free on our website at advisorgrowthlab.com. No phone call, no pitch, just the numbers. Read the price tag before you pay it. Clear eyes first, the move second. I'll see you tomorrow.